The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
It is a Thursday morning, and we are glad you are here on the 24th day of September. Mark Davis, welcome. Come on in, 866-660-5759. It is the morning after rioting in Louisville. We had a wonderful Andy McCarthy visit at the top of the show. If you missed it, that's just reason number 27 to do the podcast. Rhonda puts them up every day after we're done. Show ends at 10. By 11, they're usually there all 3 hours for your revisitation or initial visitation pleasure. And Andy described to us his logic contained in his piece this morning that it is a just decision not to file homicide charges in the tragic Breonna Taylor case. Why? I'll share some of those thoughts in a minute. Let's go straight to your calls on a variety of things. Here comes debate night, 5 nights away. Go to my Twitter feed. My friends at IPI, Tom Giovanetti and the gang, have invited me and Texas GOP Chief Counsel Wade Emmert and analyst and Travis County Republican Chair Matt Makowiak down in Austin. And we're going to do a debate sort of pregame party. It's like having us over, but we don't eat your food. And it'll be great. And you can just go to IPI.org or just hit my Twitter feed. I put it up there last night, and I'll put it up again. Just a wonderful thing to do to hang out with us on debate night via the magic of Zoom. Woohoo. All right, let's Zoom to your calls, 866-660-5759. We're in Garland. Michelle, hi. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. Hey, Laura had a guest on last night, the former police officer, and he has the Tatum report.
Yeah, Brandon Tatum, yeah.
How come not more of that coming out, that there's a history of criminal activity surrounding the victim?
Well, it kind of has, not enough. Let me mention two things about Breonna Taylor's her reputational issues. The agenda, the Black Lives Matter, the activism, the rioters, they need every single one of these people. Jacob Blake, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, to be absolutely saintly, free of personal stain, magnificent, upstanding citizens who are completely innocent in every way, who made no decisions that led to their interface with police, who did nothing to attract negative attention from the police. They were simply executed in cold blood by evil, racist cops. That's the narrative that they need. More often than not, that is false, and it's false here. Now, the only other thing I'd say is that Breonna Taylor's personal connections to this drug dealer guy, which is what attracted attention to her home and her neighborhood in the first place, that neither adds nor detracts from the notion of whether of what kind of police work was done. Did they announce themselves correctly? Were they justified in shooting in her direction? Those answers are the same whether she is a street criminal or a nun. So a lot of times people dwell on stuff George Floyd did, or you know, stuff Jacob Blake did, or whatever, and that's okay. But nothing in their personal backgrounds affects the facts of what happened in this case. A grand jury now determines that which whatever it was not murder.
Okay. I just, you know, it dates back to 2016. So, like you said, it's not cut and dry. She was completely void of any you know, misconduct or being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
It's exactly right. If there, you know, if she hadn't made some of the associations that she made, maybe there's not negative police attention attached to her home. If George Floyd obeys the cops, he's walking around alive today. If Jacob Blake doesn't dive into the car, he's still walking around alive. All these people are alive today, but for bad decisions they made. Michelle, thanks. Now, about those bad decisions. There are 1,000 bad decisions you can make that shouldn't necessarily earn your death. In the Breonna Taylor case, it just seems to be just a series of just horrible, tragic, unfortunate events. But not every horrible, tragic, unfortunate event, even not every questionable moment of police work, and I'm not even weighing in on that because, you know, I wasn't there. People who were there testify that they did indeed announce that this was not, repeat, not a no-knock warrant. So I'll leave it to the Louisville PD to figure out what kind of consequences are due for the police who acted on this warrant. The grand jury's job was simple. Did this deserve a charge of murder? And their answer is it did not. And that is an answer delivered by Attorney General Daniel Cameron yesterday that resulted in rioting and 2 cops getting shot last night in Louisville. The mob is not happy. The street justice venom was not satisfied. And so this is what happens in America in 2020. When the mob doesn't get exactly what it wants, America's cities burn. And this cannot stand. I have nothing but prayerful wishes for her family. Their grief is the kind of thing that can lead them to want a grand jury to help in their revenge urge. The attorneys surrounding this, the grandstanding attorneys surrounding this, wanted a murder charge so that their fame and clicks and careers can be lofted. Politically, people needed this to be a murder so that they could have an additional plank in the narrative, the evil, racist cops, the Black Lives Matter agenda that hates the police and seeks to malign them and prevents us from making real progress in some areas where we do need to make some progress. So there's almost nobody approaching this with goodwill and with objectivity and dealing with facts and evidence, except the grand jury. There's no reason whatsoever to believe that the grand jury went into this with blinders on and said, oh, man, we got to protect these cops. There's no reason whatsoever to believe that happened. But the streets of Louisville were filled with folks who were not happy. Now, last word, and we'll go to some more of your calls. If there are people not happy with a grand jury decision, tell me about it. Tell Louisville about it. Call the mighty WHAS in Louisville, a fine talk station right there. Call the Courier Journal, a great newspaper. Write a letter to the editor. Hold a news conference. Hold a rally. Peaceful protest. This is what actual peaceful protest was made for. And that's part of free speech, and that's part of the American fabric. But we don't do that anymore. We go straight to the rioting. We go straight to the cop shooting. That's how we register our dissatisfaction in 2020 America. That can't stand. 866-660-5759. We are in Dallas. Al, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
How you doing, Mr. Davis? How you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, I got a few. I'm a regular listener. I agree with you most of the time. But see, the Black community has been messed over for years by the police. All right? And whites don't understand it because they're not Black. This situation has certain questions I have problems with. They said for weeks it was a no-knock warrant.
Yep.
Now, all of a sudden, when the attorney general gives his little spiel, it was a regular knock warrant, not a no-knock warrant.
Right.
All right? And allegedly, the cops didn't have their body cameras on. Why not? Okay? There's some issues here that definitely need to be cleared up. Because most Blacks are not trying, responsible Blacks are not trying to riot or cause problems.
I think that's totally
fair. They're tired of what's going on,
but,
too.
But you know what? But you're totally right about that. But in return for that, you know, latitude, let's not walk around saying that, you know, white folks are somehow, it's actually kind of racist to say that white folks lack empathy for stuff like this. I mean, white America, Black America, Eskimo America, Hispanic America, looked at the George Floyd thing and said, wow, something really wrong happened there.
Okay, so, well, I have a question here. Now, so what's the, I mean, you're in the media, so what's the real situation? For weeks, I think you would agree, they said it was a no-knock warrant, correct?
Right. Correct, they did.
Okay.
But here's let's go to that. It's called people looked at facts. It's called people actually looked at facts. And what we had before was lawyers spouting off a media narrative that was quick to go with whatever those lawyers or whatever activists said. And when a grand jury actually looked at the nuts and bolts and facts of the case, they found otherwise. It happens.
Well, that would have changed a lot if they reported
would
the
it?
Way it was before.
Would
in
it?
My opinion.
Well, you know, with reasonable people, and you sure sound like one, maybe so. But there are some folks, you know how many millions of people are walking around still believing that Michael Brown and Hands Up, Don't Shoot happened? And it's a total lie? I mean, so I don't have
to be objective. That's what I try to do.
Well,
I mean,
it's
the whole
good.
Thing is, well, I'll just say this. I mean, the whole thing is we still have work to do reference to police conduct in these type of situations.
I think you're right. And you know what? For when people of reason and good faith and goodwill, like people like you, people like me, folks on all sides of this, when we can all get together and sit down and have conversations between police departments and communities and look at what some of the concerns are and what might need to be better in terms of training, maybe some warrant procedure, de-escalation, all of those things, I can't wait to get to that point. But we're not going to be able to do it with Black Lives Matter smearing the police, with rioters taking to the streets. We just, every single bit of that delays the kind of important conversations that we just finished talking about. Don't you think?
Okay, well, I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about, okay? You have certain Democratic individuals and certain minority group individuals that anytime Donald Trump's name is mentioned, it's automatically he's wrong. And I've always said for the longest, everything he did wasn't wrong. He's made mistakes, but everything he did was not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they completely go unglued when I say this. But the truth is the truth, as far as I'm concerned.
You have described the price you pay for being reasonable. And wear it like a badge of honor, Al, because I, for one, am proud of you. I'm now also officially even more fascinated by you. Who are you going to vote for?
Trump. Period. Because I cannot see. Joe Biden, to me, has cognitive deficit. I have experience with this because my background, I know it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not fit to be president at all. Okay? Anybody who thinks he's competent is kidding themselves. This is all the Kamala Harris show. They want her to be the president because what's going to happen if, God forbid, he wins? They'll find an excuse to make Joe stand down and she be the president. That's all this is about.
I'm glad I asked. Al, I need to, as if you haven't done enough for me already, give me a buzz back every once in a while in these for this home stretch of the election. And thereafter, I value you. I appreciate you. Agree, disagree, give me a shot. I appreciate you very much.
Now, you agree with my synopsis on what to do with Kamala, don't you? Because I've been saying that since they picked her.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't pick her, they picked
her. He wants more, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to give it to him. Are you all in for the notion that it's a Trojan horse thing and that if Joe Biden should win, he will just simply step aside after just maybe a few months.
No. This is what I believe is going to happen. They're going to let him have a bite of the apple for a little bit.
Right.
Maybe a year and a half.
Who's this all-knowing, eyes-wide-shut tribunal that has Joe on the marionette strings and will tell him when to step aside? Who are those people?
Okay. Are you really convinced that Joe knows where he's at? I'm not. I think what they're doing to him is cruel because the man's almost 80 years old, and you're walking him around like he has no idea what's going on. That, to me, is outright cruelty because they should have picked somebody younger and more alert.
Well,
if he wanted to make Kamala Harris the president, make her the president.
They had the chance.
Why put Joe in a situation that he's not actually going to be able to do?
Al, God bless you, man. Thank you very much for all your points. I appreciate it. Wow. Okay. Does Joe know where he is? The answer is often not. Most days he probably does. I'm going to tell you something. I have come across at times, and I'm still saying it, on debate night Tuesday night, a lot of people are expecting him to completely have a total synapse failure and blank out and forget his own name or collapse into a fetal position. None of those things are going to happen. He'll be, when I say he'll be fine, I mean, compared to what a lot of people expect. The one thing, and I think I've said this a little bit every day, the one thing that I think is a bear trap waiting for Joe Biden is a short temper. And I don't mean that he is an ill-tempered, short-tempered, irascible person, but with his, I'm sorry, diminished capabilities, I think he's walking into a buzzsaw. I think that Trump, and maybe even if we're lucky, God help us, Chris Wallace, may deliver a challenging moment, and Joe's not going to take it well. And it might happen a couple of times. We'll see how that goes. 823, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. When I stumble across a band, I always like to share it with you. These guys have been around out of Cleveland for about 7 years, called Welshly, W-E-L-S-H-L-Y, confusing, Welshly Arms and Sanctuary. 866-660-5759. We are in Fort Worth. Eddie, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Fantastic. Nice to have you.
Hey, I've been listening to you since you were with the other station many, many years ago here in Fort Worth.
Thank you.
And I loved you there, and I love you here.
Appreciate it.
I hated the time that she was away, which wasn't long, but it wasn't too long.
It's for people's memories differ. People talk about, man, that 6 months you were off the air. It was two. It was the long stretch in the desert between March and June, the end of March and beginning of June of 2012. But God closes some doors that others may open, and I'm very grateful and thank you. What you got today?
Well, I just, there's another Mark that's on the radio that I love, and his name's Mark Levin.
You and me and both.
I think.
Nod, but go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, but I was listening to him the other day, and he had different things that he brought up, and some of the biggest were about Barack Obama is really the man behind the scenes. That he started all this in his presidency. Look what he did with the Obama administration trying to take out Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And that currently he's advising or consulting the blue state governors, some of the mayors, and that he has a huge hand in this. And who better to be the puppet master than the guy that he was vice president under.
I've heard some of this. Let me ask you this. What Barack Obama's involvement right now today has a goal of what? What would be the goal of President Obama?
Changing America is exactly what he said he wanted to do, and he's still
no
at
doubt.
Work at it.
But since he's not president anymore and is out windsurfing with Richard Branson and enjoying life with Michelle and the kids, I just wonder if he worries about much of anything anymore. I mean, if there are things he can do.
Other presidents really speak right now.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them retire.
Yeah.
But he's always got to have his hand in the pot.
Well, do we see a whole lot of him around? Does he? I mean, in fact, he appears so relatively rarely. People go, "Oh, wow, there's Obama." They fall into full worship mode. I would have no trouble believing that in his plenty of free time, there are things going on in terms of fundraising or stuff or whatever to help. I don't think Biden was his favorite candidate at all. I think he'd probably prefer Kamala Harris herself were president. I don't know. Anything's possible. I mean, what? Honestly, maybe the most important thing is he's a former Democrat president. I don't find anything particularly sinister if he's trying to do things to bring about Democrat goals. What would you expect him to do?
Well, I mean, how about just he's retired?
Well, let's say President Bush were more conservative than he is and didn't hate Trump's guts. Okay. What would we think of George W., still a vibrant man in his early to mid-70s, was doing all kinds of things to help bring about a Trump second term? We'd think that was great.
Well,
We'd think that was the bee's knees.
I never expected I never respected him like I did his father.
That's what I'm saying. Pretend he did things where he did. Let's say there was, let's take names and personalities out of it. Let's say a former Republican president who had 8 years and everybody still loved him in Republican land was using his retirement time to bring about further conservative goals and further Republican presidencies. We'd think that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, guess what? Obama's a Democrat, a liberal, and is trying to do things to help his side of the cause. So the good news is it's in our hands. And we're not going to let that happen on November 3rd. Boom. Eddie, thank you so much for your kind words, your call. Appreciate you. 8:33 into the newsroom we go. Here's Gordon Griffin. On our Thursday program, 866-660-5759. All right, we got Breonna Taylor, morning after the riots conversation. Grand jury finds that murder didn't happen. There's no reason to believe that they acted improperly, and so we're talking a little bit about that. Every once in a while, there will be a grand jury that finds things that the mob doesn't want, that the rioters are not satisfied with. And in the America of 2020, this is what you get. You don't get people gathering and expressing their displeasure. Actually, you do, but it's all drowned out by the news of rioting. It's all set ablaze by the fires of looting, and that's just horribly unfortunate. It's horribly unfortunate. Breonna Taylor's death was horribly unfortunate and tragic by every measure. But the question before the grand jury was, were there, you know, X, Y, and Z laws broken? And the question was about murder. And the answer was no. In a minute, the latest Trump troll, I think he loves doing this, And the media play right along. I mean, they are the cats and he holds the laser pointer. And every once in a while, the question, you know, if he loses, will he surrender power peacefully? And people ask him this because reporters love to ask him this. They love to ask him this because they love to ask him anything that's predicated on him losing. Mr. President, if you lose, will you go peacefully? Well, his premise for his vague, very nearly non-answer is this election could be so squirrely, so unsettled on the actual night of November 3rd, with so many days following thereafter, where people will say, hey, you lost. You lost. The media narrative, I guarantee you, will be that you lost, you lost, you lost, you lost. And there may be a circumstance that arises where he says, guess what? Not yet, I didn't. And maybe I didn't at all. So it was just a day of supreme trolling. You'll hear Cecilia Vega on ABC say, never before has an American president not promised to leave peacefully if he is defeated on election night. Well, never before in American history have we had an election that stands to be victimized by as much mischief as this one does. I'll get to that here in a second. 866-660-5759. We're in Trophy Club. Hey, Mike. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. Hey. I'm well. I've been listening to you for years, and I really love your show.
Thank you.
You do a great job.
You're very kind.
Mark, I called you a few weeks ago after the Stars started playing hockey, and you and I talked about the fact that Tyler Seguin had kneeled during the anthem.
Yep.
And I couldn't even get through the game. I had to turn it off. And I wanted to tell you that I've been hearing in the news that the Stars are playing now for the Stanley Cup
final. That is correct. That is correct.
But I wanted you to know I haven't watched a single game because my country is more important than a hockey game. And then 2 weeks ago, we were watching a Formula One race in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And a driver by the name of Lewis Hamilton won the race. He's from England.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the race, when they presented him with his trophy, he put on a T-shirt that said, arrest the police officers who murdered Breonna Taylor.
Wow.
And I'm like, even the international sports figures now feel like they can contribute to this mantra that the police in our country are going after black people.
Well, it's very chic. It's very chic. It's very fashionable. That'll get you a lot of loving and affectionate clicks in liberal land. And he's entitled to, you know, wear whatever shirt he wants. But you are right. This is this is the wave of the moment.
Now that says, "Oops, I was wrong."
I'm gonna guess now. Yeah, another shirt that says, "Whoops, the grand jury has changed my mind."
Right. The grand jury found out the police didn't do anything wrong. My bad.
Well, okay, careful, careful. Not that they didn't do anything wrong, but that they did not commit murder. And that was the question before them.
Correct.
Your very first observation about the Stars creates an interesting question that maybe a lot of people are going through with the Stars and the Cowboys. The Stars got throttled last night in Game 3. Didn't get a chance to watch a lot of it. I saw some of it. And the reason I'm ducking into a little bit of the Stars Stanley Cup run and did in their victory over Colorado, their victory over Vegas, blah, 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 is they stopped the kneeling nonsense. And I guess I'll dip back. If the Cowboys don't kneel versus Seattle, I'll consume that. Now, your position seems to be that they kneeled at the beginning of the season, and you made a season-long decision, or the beginning of the playoffs, I guess, or no season, when they resumed, and you made a season-long decision that said, I'm never coming back. This season, I am out. That is a completely principled view to take. I guess my point is if they decide to stop that stuff, I'll be back. And I think my main reason is it's especially, well, with the Stars, with, I guess, two players who kneeled. The Cowboys have only one. And but that's enough to drive me away for the games where Dontari Poe chooses to take a knee, which I hope he does not do. The vast majority of the team's not doing it. And so when that behavior disappears, I'll come back. But that doesn't mean I have any quarrel with your decision, which was, you know what? You kneel. I'll see you next year.
Our country is more important than any sporting event.
Completely. And this is what this class of athletes does not get. And they may have been taught a lesson in Cowboys land with seriously depleted ratings. Mike, thanks. You did hear that. Barry Horn of the Dallas Morning News revealed that the Cowboys, in their noon start against Atlanta, let me just give you the background. Ordinarily, I mean, your biggest ratings of football or any team or whatever, when the Cowboys play at night, Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, or when they are the 3:25 start, as they are this Sunday at Seattle, the noon games, which because the Cowboys are just so doggone popular, we don't get a lot of noon starts because there are greater ratings for the later games because it's not, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast. So when the Cowboys played at noon, they played at noon twice last year and had a rating of approaching a share, how many percentage of TVs that were on were watching the Cowboys, just about knocking on the door of 30, I think 29.8 for their two noon games last year. Cowboys Falcons, 22. A loss of nearly a quarter ratings season to season, noon game to noon game. As Barry Horn reports, a loss of roughly 180,000 households. Now, I don't magically know that every single one of those lost households is following my lead and the lead of others and saying, you know what, you kneel, I'm out. And all of this woke social justice activism has just poisoned the sports experience for millions and millions and millions. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I magically know that that is 100% of the reduced Cowboys ratings. But I guarantee you it's a good bit of it. I mean, some of it might just be the weirdness of either empty or not quite full stadiums. What the NBA has done and just what sports have done in general, a lot of athletes mouthing off, has driven a bunch of people away from sports in general. I talk every day to people who say, you know, Mark, because of the NBA, I don't care that much about hockey. Because of the NBA, I don't care that much about football. I'm just tired of mouthy athletes characterizing my country as a racist sludge pit. I'm done. I'm out. I got stuff to do. And I confess I've experienced a lot of that myself. 866-660-5759. Okay, here's breathless Cecilia Vega and Nancy Pelosi herself has said, you know, that we're going to have to fumigate the White House. Even if Trump loses, there'll be no getting rid of him. He is laughing every night.
To you, never in the history of this country has there not been a peaceful transfer of power after a presidential election. But now President Trump is suggesting he might not accept the election results if he is not the winner.
The stunning exchange from the White House podium came with less than 6 weeks to go until Election Day and voting already underway in some states.
Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transferal of power after the election?
Well, okay, so first thing is Cecilia Vega misstated the point. She said that Trump would not promise to a peaceful transfer of power if he loses. It's predicated on if he loses. What the president has a I think a reason to expect a possibility of is an unresolved election that has not been decided. Oh, but it'll be decided on the front page of the New York Times. It'll be decided on MSNBC. You lost. Time to go, sir. And he'll say, ah, I don't think so.
Gonna have to see what happens. You know that.
A first, the president of the United States refusing to say outright that he would commit to a peaceful transfer of power. Not once, but twice.
Do you commit to making sure that there's a peaceful transfer of power?
We want to have get rid of the ballots, and you'll have a very peaceful. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation.
The president peddling his unfounded claim that vote.
So awesome. It's just he. They are cats. He has the laser pointer.
By mail leads to widespread fraud. There is no evidence of that. This after earlier in the day, he said he wants a speedy confirmation for his Supreme Court pick because he expects.
Member Supreme Court. You can't have 4-4, especially if one of the four is John Roberts. In what may be cases that involve various
important to have a ninth justice.
As he slips in the polls over his handling of the coronavirus, President Trump upping his unfounded attacks on the election's integrity.
Reporters never used to do this unfounded saying without. They never did this to Obama. They never did this to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton said without evidence that XYZ. Barack Obama said in an unfounded statement that ABCDRE. Oh, no, but all this just this added editorializing, easy for you to say. Welcome to 2020.
The election is rigged.
The Democrats are trying to rig this election.
Overnight, Joe Biden stunned.
What country are we in? Look, he says the most irrational things. I don't know what to say about it.
Well, you better find something. Better find something to say, and you got about 5 days to do it, because debate night is Tuesday night, and that grows more intriguing by the moment. 8:51, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. To close us out the 8 o'clock hour, little Chuck Mangione. Other than Feels So Good, his huge hit from the late 70s. This is the other Chuck Mangione song, you know, called Give It All You Got. So let's do, as we hop into the 9 o'clock hour, ready to take your calls, ready to talk about stuff, ready to go, take things to 10 o'clock for the Mike Gallagher Show. It is a Thursday together, and we're very glad you're here on 660 AM The Answer. Stick around. You guys are next on the phones.